I felt burdened this past week and ended up having to change what I was going to talk to you about. But I've learned that sometimes God will ordain you to say some things that need to be said at the right time. And so I pray that I have followed him obediently. Today I want to talk to you from the subject unexpected storms. Unexpected storms. It always amazes me the number of unnecessary deaths we have every year from hurricanes. Every year around August, the National Weather Center sends out advisories of all of the storms that they are predicting or planning to occur for that year. People generally know about hurricanes well in advance. Generally, before a hurricane ever reaches your area, there have been a number of advisories and warnings that have gone out so that you can be prepared and that you can plan for them. However, there are some storms that come into our lives that are unplanned. There are some storms that are unexpected that we have to deal with. There are storms that come into our lives like tornadoes that come in quickly with a weather front that comes in and destroys a city or some houses in a neighborhood. There are earthquakes that happen suddenly, unexpectedly, things that you can't plan for. There are storms like the financial storm that came through in 2008 that caught so many people unawares and devastated their financial savings and their losses. There are some storms that come through like a doctor's report that comes back positive when you were expecting that everything was okay. There are some storms that come into our lives unexpectedly, like a job loss that you weren't expecting. There are some storms that even come to play to when everything is going well. You just got pregnant, and then you come out to find out later that something's wrong with the baby, and you lose it. We all know how to handle storms that you can plan for. The question is, how do you handle those unexpected storms? How do you deal with those storms that you can't plan for? I know some of you are type A people and you are prepared for everything. You just plan and you think of everything. Everything that ever occurs, you've already thought it through. But can I tell you something? That if you live long enough, life will throw you some curveballs of some things that you hadn't planned for. Some things will come in your life that were unexpected. I can tell you from experience, my wife and I, when we had our first child, everything was going well. We had our first child, everything was going good for the first 26 weeks. But on the 26th week, on the fourth day, my wife started having some spotted and some bleeding. And within 3.5 hours later, our first son was born at 26 weeks and 4 days at 2 pounds and 4 ounces. There are sometimes some things will happen unexpectedly that you can't plan for. I can tell you from experience, my grandfather was doing well. Everything was going good until one day he's walking in his room and he drops dead from a heart attack, and I get a call unexpectedly of someone whom I love tremendously had died. There are some times to where things happen and some storms occur that you can't plan for. I don't know or care who you are. Eventually, you're going to find out that there's some things that are coming into your life that you can't plan for. And the question is, what do we do when they occur? How do we make it through? In our text today, God shows us through the life of his disciples how we are to respond to unplanned storms, unexpected tragedies that come into our lives suddenly. If you got your Bibles, open them to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And I want to provide you with a little context as we go through our study today. In Matthew chapter 14, it begins with John the Baptist. And all this is important to understand the text that we're going to look at today. It begins with John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, the great prophet who declared the coming of the Messiah, who was killed by Herod, who was the governor or the ruler of that era. area. And Herod killed John because he was preaching an unpopular message. If you read the story, his message was very simple. The king was violating the law by taking his brother Philip's wife to be his. How many know that sometimes when you just preach what the word says, everybody don't like it? And the Bible says that when Herod heard what John was preaching, you know, he had took his brother's wife to be his wife, and he thought that she was his, that he got upset with John, but he didn't want to do anything to John because the people loved John. But he wasn't the only one that was upset. It says that Philip's wife, who Herod had took to be his, was also upset with him. She didn't like the idea of being called an adulteress or a harlot or whatever else John might have been calling her at that time. And so she was so angry with John, the Bible tells us that she convinced her daughter to dance for Herod on his birthday. And the Bible says that she danced for Herod so good on his birthday that after she had danced for him, that Herod said, you know what, you did it so good. Anything that you want, just ask me for it and I'll give it to you. And the Bible says that the mother had convinced the daughter to say, give me the head of John the Baptist. And so Herod was forced into a trap. He couldn't get out of it. He didn't want to bother John because he knew that the people loved him. But at the same time, he had given his word. So what was he supposed to do? And so he honored her request and brought her the head of John the Baptist. And when you read through chapter 14, the Bible says when this happened, John's disciples came and told Jesus what had occurred. And when Jesus heard it, he was grieved in his spirit and he had to be alone by himself. The Bible says in verse 13, when Jesus heard about John, he departed for a desert place by ship. But he had a problem. The people started to follow him. How many of you know that when you got a healer and a worker of miracle in the area, everybody want to be around him? And so the Bible says that when he saw them, he had compassion on them. Regardless of what he was feeling, he still had compassion on them. And he healed all of their sicknesses, the Bible says. But as the day became evening, verse 15 says that the disciples suggested that he send them away so that they could go eat and find some lodging. To this, Jesus says to them, that sounds absolutely ridiculous that we need to understand because it's going to go into our text today. Jesus says, why don't you feed them? And then the disciple says, Lord, a very logical question. Lord, how in the world are we supposed to feed these people? He says, there are so many people here. Verse 21 says that there are over 5,000 men here, not including women and children. So you can imagine if you got 5,000 men, you know, men like women. So you probably got some women there. So you even got, you know, maybe for some guys who couldn't get one, but you got seven, anywhere from 7 to 10. And then if you add on children, you could have anywhere from 9 to 15,000 people there. How are we supposed to feed all of these people? And then the Bible says that Jesus performs one of the greatest miracles in the Bible. He takes the food that they did have, he blessed it, and he turned it into enough food to feed everybody. In fact, the Bible says that not only did he bless it and turn it into enough food, he says, but that in verse 20, that it filled up everybody. So in other words, they didn't just get a snack. They didn't just get some sardines and a little piece of bread. The Bible says that he filled up everybody. Everybody, hey, anybody ever not ate so much to where you're walking out and you're like, oh my God, I ate too much food. The Bible says he filled up everybody. And not only did he fill up everybody, it said that he had 12 baskets left over. So in other words, he had more food when they ended than he had at the beginning. Now, let me continue on. Now we come to our passage today in verse 22. Notice what it says. It says, after the miracle, Jesus does something very strange. The text says that he says straightway. Somebody say straightway. The text says straightway or immediately after they ate and they were fulfilled or filled, Jesus constrained. Do you see that? I don't know what your text read. It says, but Jesus constrained, or he forced, or he compelled his disciples to get in the ship and go to the other side before him while he sent everybody away. Now, I want you to think about that. Why would Jesus do this? They had just witnessed a tremendous miracle. Everybody was happy. This was the first time to have a church revival, or at least raise an offering. How many know that when everybody's happy is when you try to raise an offering? Why would he force everybody to leave and get on the ship and go to the other side? We find our answer in John chapter 6, verses 13 and 15, where the author tells us that after Jesus did the miracle, the people were so amazed that they determined to take Jesus by force and compel him to be their king and their ruler. Watch this. Now, that may sound awesome to us, but it wasn't part of the plan of God for Jesus or the disciples. You see, it wasn't his time. God had something else for them to do. So he quickly compelled or forced them to get in the ship to go to the other side so they wouldn't be tempted or misled by all this praise and glory that was coming from these people. You see, sometimes the Bible teaches us that God will compel or force us to move around from some of the things that we are around. There are some people that God doesn't want to influence you. And so he'll compel you to move. There are some places that God may not want you to go. And so sometimes you'll feel him compel you to move. There are some people right now who are in a situation and God has been compelling you. You feel it. You know that something is not right. You know that you're not supposed to be there. And he's been compelling you to move. You got to learn to be obedient. I remember when I was in high school, my brother and I went to a party that my daddy had told us not to do. He wasn't spiritual enough. We were in the spirit and knew that God wanted us to be at that party. And we went to the party and we was there, you know, we was jamming, doing our thing. And y'all don't even know. And while we was there, we felt constrained or compelled at one point that we needed to leave. We didn't know why. We didn't understand why. But we went ahead and was obedient, never to find out that the next day, minutes or so forth after we left, there was a shooting, a fight there, and one of the young men got shot and died. You see, sometimes God will compel you. See, he's the only one that really knows what's going on in the situation, and there's some things he'll pull you from, but you got to be obedient. Look at your neighbor and say, be obedient. Watch this in verse 23. The Bible says, listen, the Bible says that Jesus sent the multitude away and was finally able to get along and pray. Listen, and he must have been praying for a long time. Watch this, because verse 24 indicates that his disciples had traveled out and reached the midst of the sea. Do you see that there? It says that they had traveled and reached the midst of the sea. That word means in the Greek stadion. Or it means 200 yards. Watch this. Sometimes you got to look up words in order to understand what's really going on there. The Bible says that they had been traveling for a stadion or 200 yards or 3.5 miles out now. So the disciples had been rowing for some time. They had been rowing away from the beach shore, or the lake shore, wherever they were for some time. Watch this. And while they were following his directive, while they were doing what Jesus told them to do, a sudden and unplanned storm arose. It was unexpected. They were doing everything that God told them to do, and a storm arose, which the Bible says was contrary to them or against them. This teaches us the first truth in this text is that sometimes obeying the will of God will cause you to go through some storms. That's for somebody here. I know that some people say all you got to do is come to Jesus and everything is going to be all right. Once you come to Christ, you ain't got to worry about any problems. But do I got any witnesses that will tell the truth that sometimes when you come to Jesus, it seems like more stuff stop happening in your life than it was when you weren't following Jesus. The text says that when they were traveling, a storm arose. But you must understand that a storm in the will of God is always better than a storm out of the will of God. See, a storm in the will of God is meant to perfect you, whereas a storm out of the will of God is meant to correct you. You see, when you look at Jonah got out of the will of God, and the Bible says that God sent a storm to correct Jonah and bring him back. But this storm, listen, the storm we're talking about here wasn't meant to correct the disciples because they were already doing what God told them to do. This storm was meant to perfect them. Listen, not every storm in your life means you did something wrong. Not every storm. Listen, some storms are meant to draw you closer in your relationship with God. See, I had to learn this when I had my appendix removed. See, the night before, everything was going well. I was feeling fine. Everything was going good. The next morning, I awoke with pain in my side. I could barely walk, only to have a few hours later that evening to be rushed into emergency surgery. And can I tell you some things that I've learned about that storm? Is that when you're going through something really hard, people mean you well, but they can't do you no real good. There comes some storms that it's just you and Jesus. I'm sitting there now crushed over with pain. My wife saying everything she could that's nice and sweet. Oh, honey, I feel so bad for you. Honey, is there anything that I can do? And the pain is so hard in me. It's like, would you just, honey, let me rub your back. Can I rub? Don't touch me. Don't. You're making it worse. You see, some of those storms build a reliance upon God that you won't get any other way. Watch this. And so the storm is meant to build and draw us closer to God. And one of the things that I want to do this morning is encourage someone that the storm you are facing is not meant to destroy you. Watch this. It's not even meant to correct you, but it's meant to perfect you. Listen, and when you come out of this storm, you're going to be more powerful than you ever was before. That's why the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall through various trials or testings or temptations. You need to know that the testing of your faith produces. How many know that everybody needs a little patience? He says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Listen, the second thing that the text teaches us is that when unplanned and unexpected storms come, we don't need to fear them because God is in control. Watch this. This is for somebody right now because you're going through some stuff and you've gotten some reports that's shaking you up a little bit. Listen, I've come to inject you with a little Holy Ghost power this morning. I told you this was not what I came to teach on, but God told me to come teach on this. See, some of you need a shot of encouragement because you're going through some stuff in this one part of your plan. Where did this come from? I wasn't expecting none of this. Why did God drop this in my lap? Watch this. He says, the storm, you don't need to fear it. Watch this. Now, I want you to watch what happens here. The disciples were obeying God and traveling to the other side. A storm arises with strong winds, which causes big waves to be contrary or resistant to them. The waves are big, and they are about to sink the ship. Can you envision it? They're traveling in this storm. All the winds are blowing. The waves are going. They're trying to survive. Watch this. And then Jesus says something that makes no sense. Listen, he says, he comes to them and says, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Do y'all see that in your Bible? He says, be of good cheer. Now, why would Jesus say something like that? What is he trying to get them and us to see? Watch this. You got to go back to verse 25 in order to get it. Now, don't miss it. It says, when Jesus came to them, watch this. When Jesus came to them, he was walking on the sea. Do you see that there? It says, when he came to them, he was walking on the sea. Watch this. The storm is what was causing the wind. The wind is what caused the waves. The waves was tossing and overflowing the ship, but Jesus came walking on the sea. What does that symbolize? It symbolizes that Jesus has authority over the storm and everything that's coming against it. Now I want you to think about this. Think about how bad Jesus is. Anybody know anything about the sea? When the waves are choppy, you got waves going up. Waves going down. And when you're walking on that, how do you walk without falling down? Watch this. So if Jesus is coming walking on the sea, does that mean he walking, and wherever he walking, the water must be calm. It may be up over there, and it may be up over there. But in order for me to come walking And you know, Jesus probably had that Barack walk too. You know, Barack got a mean walk. In order for Jesus to come, then that means the waves have to calm themselves. In order for Jesus to walk to him, that means the winds must not be affecting him. Watch this. And somebody need to understand the situation that you're in. God is in complete control of that situation. Whatever the storm is. Watch this. Watch this. If God is in control, then you may say, well, Pastor, why in the world is he allowing me to go through this in the first place? I mean, couldn't he just block it? Why doesn't he go ahead and remove it? Listen, go back to the text in verse 25. Watch this. It says, they left that evening and had been rowing now for some time in the storm. Remember, they 3.5 miles out. So they've been rowing in this storm for some time. They've been fighting it on their own for some time. And then the Bible says that Jesus comes in the fourth watch. Anybody see that? The Bible says that Jesus came in the fourth watch. The fourth watch means between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. Watch this. Why would Jesus allow them to stable or labor in the storm from evening until the fourth watch? Why did he allow them to go through the storm for that long? I mean, you ain't got to pray that long, right? Wasn't Jesus the one who said, keep your prayer short? Wasn't it Jesus in Matthew 5 or 6 who was talking about God already know what you're going to say before you say it? So why he got to pray for so long? Why didn't he come in the second watch? Why didn't he come at midnight? In fact, the Bible says, now they fighting for their life in the ship. The waves are going, everything going. And the Bible says, I don't know if you caught it, but the Bible says Jesus came running. How does the Bible say Jesus came? The Bible said Jesus came walking. It didn't even say he was coming fast-paced walking. It didn't say anything. It said Jesus came walking. So in other words, he wasn't distraught, he wasn't moved, he wasn't pressurized. If he wanted to stop it, how many know that Jesus could have stopped the storm if he wanted to? Watch this. But he intentionally allowed them to go through the storm. Why? Because there are some things you will only learn if you go through the storm. See, I came to tell you that some of you, your storm is answer to prayer. You've been praying and asking God for a higher anointing, but you can't get that unless you go through the storm. See, there's only some things you only go through the storm. One of the things that annoys me is everybody can talk about God's able and power to persevere you through a divorce, but how many know that if you ain't been through a divorce, you can't talk to me about that? It's one thing to talk about what God can do, but if you ain't been through it, you don't really... Anybody can talk about God when you're going through hard times. Just hang in there, sweetheart. God gonna deliver you. I know your finances are tight right now, but God gonna come through. But you ain't never had no problems paying your bills. It's one thing for you to talk to me about God is going to sustain you through that cancer that you got through in your body. And don't worry about it, honey. God got you covered. But you ain't never had nothing going on in your body. There are some things that you can't get power through unless you go through it. Listen, why does God make us go through these storms? Listen, you know why? It's because he wants to teach you to be dependent on him. I came to talk to somebody, listen, your storm is not to beat you down. It's to help you to be dependent upon him. How many of you know that everybody says, I don't need no storm to be dependent on God? I don't need no storm to make me know that I have a need of God? How many know that everybody says that? But how many of you know that when everything is going right, people don't come to church? Tell the truth. When everything going right in your life, oh, I miss church this Sunday. How many of you know it takes 9/11 to get a lot of people to come to church? Oh, amen. That went down. When I got money in my pocket and all my bills paid, How many know you don't see people in small group? You don't see them in Bible study. See, why? Because you don't see your need of God. It's something about the storm that causes you to see your need of God. See, when everybody in your family is doing all right and everybody's health is good, you don't see nobody at prayer meeting. Man, let me go ahead and move on. Amen's going down. Y'all know that's the truth. But let somebody get sick. Then you see your need of Jesus. And everybody wants to come to prayer meeting. Then everybody wants to pray. You calling me at 12 o'clock at night, telling my pastor, will you pray? And I ain't seeing you at prayer meeting. And I don't, let me go ahead. So whatever your storm is, God is in control. Listen, the third thing the text teaches us, and I got to move, the third thing it teaches us is that in order to make it through the storm, you have to focus on the right things. Remember, the reason God left these true accounts is for us to learn from them. It's for us to learn from them. Watch this. You got to focus on the right things. The storm comes. It threatens to hurt the disciples. Watch this. Jesus comes and says to Peter and to the disciples, don't worry about it. I'm here. Watch this, verse 28. And Peter says, Lord, if it be thou. Do y'all see that? He says, if it be thou. Watch this. I'm not fully sure it's you, but if it is you, then tell me to come to you on the water. Now, let me tell you something. If the storm is raging, the wind is blowing, the waves are going up and down, how many of y'all gonna ask Jesus to let you get out the boat and come to him? I don't know about you, and everybody say they're a man of faith, but I don't think I'm getting out that boat. Watch this, and here's the truth of the matter. None of the other disciples got out the boat either. Watch this, but don't miss this. Peter wasn't sure. It shows us he wasn't even full of faith, but he didn't base what he did on the others, what they thought. He didn't base it on what they were saying about him. How many of you know that when Peter got out that boat, the other disciples had to be talking about him? There go Peter again, trying to show that he the leader of everybody. Peter think that he all that. Look at him going down that water. He about to drown. He didn't pay any attention to what they said. You know what he did? Peter just said, Jesus, speak the word. How many, somebody say, Jesus, just speak the word. Peter said, I don't care what any of the rest of them say. All I need is for Jesus to speak something to me. And Jesus said, one word, come. The Bible says all Jesus said, he didn't give him a message, he didn't give him anything, he said, come. And then the Bible says that Peter got out of the boat with the wind and the waves and everything raging, and the Bible says that he walked on the water to go to Jesus. All Jesus said was one word. In the history of all time, there's only been two people that I know that's ever walked on water, Jesus and Peter. Watch this, and here is the point. Peter walked on the water, but he wasn't even full of faith. He wasn't even sure if it was Jesus. Watch this. But he acted and believed his word and walked on the water. Watch this. What does this teach us? It teaches us that it doesn't take great faith to receive a miracle. See, that's a word for somebody. Because, see, some of you have gotten a report and you're afraid. You've gotten some news, and it makes you afraid, and you don't know how you're going to get it. But here's the thing. You don't need great faith to receive a miracle. The Bible says if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed. Peter did one of the greatest miracles ever recorded in the Bible, and he didn't even know if it was Jesus. Watch this. The Bible says that you got to stay focused on what I said. Peter got out the boat based on the word of Jesus Christ. Watch this. The problem is when we take our mind off of what Christ has. Watch this. Look in the verse. The Bible says in verse 30, do you see it there? It says, but. Does your Bible say but? Look at your neighbor and say, but when he saw the, do you see that? Are you reading that in your Bible? Wait a minute now. I want you to remember what's happening. The wind, the waves, everything's blowing. Jesus said, here's my word to you, Peter. Come. Peter, get out the boat. He's walking on the water. He's walking on the water. He's standing on the word of what Jesus said. And he's doing it, but he saw something. He saw the wind. Jesus is here saying, come. He saw the water. Jesus is saying, come. He saw the doctor report come back and say that it's come back. And he started paying attention to that. But Jesus is saying, come. And he saw that his bank statement is looking broken. He ain't got no money in his account. And he don't know how he's going to pay this bill. But Jesus is saying, keep coming. And he's turning around and he's looking at the disciples, picking at him, saying, Peter about to drown. And he starts to get distracted by all of these other things that's going around. And Jesus is saying, keep coming. And every time he starts looking on the outside, the Bible says he starts sinking. Do you see that there in the text? When you look at the progression, the Bible says that Jesus said, come. Peter got out of the boat. He started walking. When Peter started looking at other things other than what Jesus said, he began to sink. Listen, here's the encouragement for somebody. See, in life, there's always going to be this thing that pulls you. God says you're free. That ain't what I see. God says, I'm going to restore your marriage. That ain't what I see. God says, I have the perfect young man for you. That ain't what I see. I want Tarantula and Pookie. Y'all know that's the truth? God says, I have the perfect man for you. You know, the Bible says, when a man finds a... Well, that's a word in itself for some of the ladies in here. Because some of y'all aggressive. Y'all ain't telling the truth. Some of y'all aggressive. The stuff you have on, and then you wonder why you getting pooky coming at you. You know why? Because I'm trying to find the man rather than letting God send him. Y'all know that's the truth. Sometimes I got to help God out a little bit. But see, here's the thing. When you start looking, I got to close. When you start looking, sometimes what you see is not what God said. I'm going to multiply your businesses 10 times. Pastor, I don't even see how that can happen. I'm struggling with just one. I don't know how we're going to do it. God says, I'm not limited by anything that's going on in your situation. Listen, here's an encouragement. When God speaks to you, stop letting everybody else in their opinion try to direct what you do and where you go. Let me close with these few things. What do you do when you're overwhelmed in your situation? How many know that you can be super spiritual, but eventually something's going to come that just catches you so off guard that you're just not ready for it? I ran through this with school. I told y'all about this. I ran through this with school. There was many times I just felt overwhelmed. I didn't think that I can do it. Can I share something with you? Even from this text, the Bible says when you're going through, the first thing that you do is you got to learn to cry out to God. Listen, see, some of y'all heard me, but I don't think you heard. It's like I tell TJ, you heard me, but you're not listening. Amen. See, I don't mean that patty cake sophisticated, Lord, help me, Jesus. No. That ain't what I'm talking about. Listen, when you look in your Bible right there, the Bible says that when Peter became overwhelmed by what he saw and he started sinking, the Bible says that he cried out, Lord, help me, I'm drowning. I'm adding the drowning part. He said, help me, I'm drowning, Lord. He didn't say, Lord Jesus. No. No. Can I tell you something? See, when you're doing that, the pressure ain't got enough on you yet. See, you got to remember, Peter's drowning. The wave's still going on. The waves ain't stopped yet. And he says, when you're going through and you're overwhelmed, he says, cry out to me in your day of trouble. Notice, Peter didn't cry. He didn't say, James, help me. He didn't say, John, on the boat, y'all help me. Why? Them jokers up over there probably cracking jokes at me. They say, I ain't getting out of the boat or we all going to drown. Watch this. He cried out to the only person that can really help him. Watch this. So when you're overwhelmed, see, and I don't know what I'm talking to. See, some of us are going through stuff and you're managing it, but it's wearing on you. Maybe you've been forced to deal with stuff you never had plans to deal with. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you can do it. How many know, but there's an internal war in you that you're doing it, but you don't even really want to do it. Boy, that's the thing about church folk. Y'all get so spiritual, boy. Oh, everybody's so deep. Listen, you got to learn to cry out. The second thing is, you got to stay focused on what God has said and not on what you see. Remember this, 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, for we walk by. Remember that. That's one of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible. You cannot go off of what you see. How many know that the devil knows that we live in a physical world? And if there was any way I'm going to convince you to do something that God doesn't want you to do, is to make it physical, because that's where we live. That's what's real to us. But God doesn't work in our limitations. Watch this. So you got to learn to walk by faith. But lastly, you got to remember that God is in control. Watch this. Hang on. The Bible says something very weird. I'm going to close with this. It says something very weird that caught my attention. In verse 31, notice what Jesus told him after he pulled them up. See, you got to remember, Jesus is in control. He says, O thee of little faith. He didn't say he didn't have any faith. He said, you got little faith. Watch this. He says, wherefore didst you doubt? Do you see that? He says, wherefore didst you doubt? What is he saying there? He was telling Peter, why did you think I couldn't handle this? Watch this. Why did you think that when I said come, I couldn't back up what it was that I told you to do? Why do you think that the storm you in is too big for me to handle? Watch this. After all you have seen me do, why would you doubt me? Watch this. Jesus tells him in Matthew chapter 8, you saw me heal leprosy. You saw me heal the centurion's daughter from death. He says, Peter, don't you remember? I healed your mother-in-law of a fever. In Matthew chapter 8, he says, you guys already saw me calm the storm. Don't you remember we were on the boat? And I was asleep, and this same thing was happening, and you woke me up, and I said, peace be still. He said, why are you doubting me? Didn't you just see me cast out demons? You just saw me in the preceding verses feed 15,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Why in the world would you doubt me? Listen, and when you face a storm that seems like you're not going to make it through, you got to remember where God has already brought you from. Listen, you got to remember what God has already healed you from. Anybody ever had God heal you of some stuff before? Don't forget where God has already brought you from. Don't forget that relationship you thought you would never get over. Don't forget that job loss that you thought was going to bankrupt you and God brought you through. Don't forget that marriage fight that you thought was going to end the marriage and then God somehow brought you all back together. Don't forget that rape and that molestation that happened to you when you were young, and look at you now. You still made it through. Don't forget, God says, don't forget who I am. Every problem that you have is a small problem to me. He says, don't forget that I'm the God who sits on high and looks down low. He says, don't forget that all problems, there's nothing impossible for me to solve. And when you're going through and you're feeling like you want to give up, and nobody else understands. Listen, because people who haven't been through what you've been through, even if they have been through similar things, every situation is a little different. The only one who truly understands and the only one who can truly hit you right where you need it is the Lord above. Father, in the name of Jesus, you know those here today that are going through. You know, I see this all the time. People come in and they're smiling. They got on all that makeup. You know, and that makeup is just covering something. If people were telling the truth, it's covering some stuff. And Lord God, sometimes we come in and we do the Christian thing. We act like everything is all right, when inside, Lord God, we are really struggling. I just speak, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that you would do a miracle with some of your people here today, Lord God. You would help us, Lord God, to remember that you are in control, that any storm that you allow to come into our lives, Lord God, there's a purpose for it. There are some heights that we will never reach if we don't go through the storm. Help us, Father, not to grow weary. I speak right now in the name of Jesus in this place, an anointing of the Holy Ghost upon every business owner in this place right now, Lord God. Some of you own businesses right now, and I just speak, listen, I speak right now in the name of Jesus Christ, prosperity. I speak in the name of Jesus an expansion of your vision right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray that God will expand and blow your mind with the things that he can do that you won't even recognize. How in the world did I even get here? Listen, and when he does it, listen, when he does it, don't forget to give him the praise and the glory and the honor. Don't put nothing on yourself because you didn't do it. Give him the glory. I speak right now over these young people. I come against every curse and condemnation and criticism spoken against y'all. You don't dress right. You don't look right. You don't speak right. You don't talk right. Your music is wrong. Your hair is wrong. Your belt is wrong. Your shoe is wrong. Your music earphones is wrong. The way you walk is wrong. The places you go is wrong. Everything about you is wrong. And I just come to tell you that even though you messed up, even though you may not be doing everything right, God loves you. And can I encourage you all? It's when you make a mistake, when you fall, just remember, there's only one person who has ever lived who's never made a mistake. And it's not your mama, and it's not your daddy, and it's not that condemning uncle or grandma or whoever it is. His name is Jesus. And that same Jesus says that I love you so much that I came myself to die for you. And we all need that blood. I speak for every person in here right now in the name of Jesus. Some of you are going through sicknesses right now in the body. Father, as a representative of yours on this earth right now, I declare, not by any power that I have, but the Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe, that they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Why? Because Jesus Christ said it, and the power is in him. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, all across this audience right now, some people have stuff going on in their body that other people don't even know about. Father, in the name of Jesus, do what only a God can do. Touch and heal everybody, Lord God. Every breast cancer, Lord God, every disease, every cancer in the body, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we declare Jesus Christ Lord over every situation in this place right now. Hearts, may they be healed in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Breasts, may they be healed right now in Jesus' name and for his power and glory. I got to close, but I speak over marriages right now. Jesus says, what God has brought together, let no man put asunder. Father, over every union in this place right now, Lord God, I speak your restoration, your reconciliation, your intimacy, Lord God. May every trap of the enemy fail, Lord God. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus that those who may have wandered, those who may have given up, Lord God, that you would move, Lord God, like you did in war room, Lord God, that you would place protective shields around the person, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that even when they try to do something wrong, they just can't, Lord God. Put it around them, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. For your glory, Father. Father, I just pray for a spirit of discipleship on this church. Discipleship, Lord, to where the people in here are so compelled, Lord God, not to just walk in their own victory, but to take what you have taught them, Lord God, and feel compelled that they've got to shepherd somebody else. Send forth, move in the hearts of your people, Lord God, that we understand the pastor can't do everybody. There are some young women in this church right now who only a more seasoned woman is going to reach. Don't talk about it, have lunch with her. We all need you, Father. We all are lacking in some area of our lives.